are probably not clogged at all. But there are two ways in which the believer builds maximum scar tissue very, very quickly. The first is obviously coming to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin. The second is premarital or extramarital sexual relationships. And what happens then, you see, is the soul begins to close off. Now, very little doctrine squeaks through. And eventually, this side automatically closes off because there's not enough coming out. The beauty of it, you see, is you're taking it in and putting it out, it keeps those openings clear. Okay? It's just, I would suppose, similar to breathing. One of the ways in which we keep our nostrils clear is by breathing. It's also bringing in contaminants as well. But if we breathe out of our mouth consistently and continually, eventually the nose would close shut because there is no air passing. And it's not a matter of muscular constriction, but simply over a period of time, there'd be enough particles, right? Well, the same with a water pipe. You keep water running through it, it's going to stay clear. Allow it to settle for a while. You ever turned on faucets? I know we had this problem when we lived in New York. I'm going back 40 years ago now. But when we go out to the, we had a house out in the country, and sometimes it sat for 2-3 months. Go out there and you turn the faucets on, you know that gunge that comes, that gook that first comes out? Why? That's the whole idea. And eventually it would just rush shut. So non-use can build scar tissue, but that's considerably slower than sinning. Of course, when you're out of fellowship, you don't come to Bible class, and when you're out of fellowship, you sin, so you build scar tissue. Now, imagine starting a relationship with an individual with only that much of your soul able to take in and put forth. See? And you see, this is where the conscience is clouded. And, of course, compatibility is almost an impossibility because, remember, compatibility is based on being able to listen, being able to have a conversation with the individual, finding likes and dislikes, knowing something about the inner being of the individual. It's hard to get inside a person when the door is three-quarters shut. Same thing here. Any question on this? You understand the principles of virtue? This is the key. Without virtue, you can't have a meaningful relationship. And you know, I've said things like this for over 30 years now, and yet I see people turn right around, even in a class like this, and do just the opposite and then wonder why they failed. I wonder why people think I'm up here. Night after night after night. It's not to beat my gums together or to hear the sound of my voice. I'm not impressed with it. I don't listen to my own tapes. I can't stand to hear me. Well, some people have told me that. They can't stand to hear me either. Point two. The couple involved then in fornication in the process of destroying the very standard of virtue required for successful marriage. Sex before marriage substitutes emotion for good standards. There are very few societies that I know of in this world that tolerate premarital sex or encourage it, unless you have a stupid jerk called the how was she, General something? That, Surgeon General, yeah. Boy, am I glad she's out. But then, you know, it's just, it's par, isn't it? When you have absolute degeneracy from the White House, it might as well go from there on down to the other parts and the other branches of service. You know, as you know, she actually stood in front of a group and promoted young people getting involved in masturbation rather than premarital sex, because that was safer. Instead of saying abstinence. You see, people, I know this is difficult because you're in the 90s and it's accepted by everyone anymore. But in the 40s and 50s, it was unheard of. And that's only 40 years ago. And when you did hear of it, the person was looked upon with disdain. In New York, we call them hoes. The correct, of course, is whore. Today, it is looked upon with, well, it's natural. It's natural. And for a believer, it should be unheard of. But I'm not naive and I'm not stupid. I know it goes on. I don't like the idea. It'll eventually destroy the nation, because every society that has had the type of loose sexual activity that we have in this country never succeeded. And it was one of their final phases before they checked out. Rome, Greece, all of them, same thing. They ended up with a very poor standard regarding their sexuality. Three, premarital sexual intimacy destroys the standards of virtue on which compatibility and rapport are formed. This causes then the fornicator to encapsulate his marriage in deceit. I can't begin to tell you, and I think you'll understand this, how many people that I have counseled that have admitted to me that before marriage, they had had premarital sex. Now, in the cases that I'm going to refer to, it was with each other. Okay? They were convinced they were going to get married, and so they said, why not? Every one of them admitted something to me subsequently, that sex before marriage was better than sex after marriage. Why? Can anybody think why? Because of the factor called emotion. And emotion was involved. And emotion always gives you a bigger high. You see? Now you say, well, what about the ones that didn't have premarital sex? By what standard would they measure their post-marital sexual relationships? None. You see? Not only that, when the sin nature is involved, there's always that forbidding aspect in premarital sex. They know it's wrong, and it's like, type thing, you see? So like people that don't need it, but they shoplift. Why? Because it gives them a rush. Some people get involved premaritally, sexually, because it gives them a rush. And it's more than just simply the elation of an orgasm. It has to do with all that's involved with the standards and the mores of our society. It's forbidden, so it's something I can do, you see. And after marriage, now it's what? It's legal, it's permitted, and it's biblical. But for a person who has never had any sex, They don't know the difference. You say, are you suggesting then a person should get it? No. Not at all. I'm just simply saying they all admitted it was better. What did that do for their marriage, however? You see? Just thought I'd throw that one out at you. A little tidbit from my experiences. Actually, the experiences of others being conveyed to me, not my experiences. Premarital sex, point four, not only destroys the standards on which attraction is based, but causes the fornicators to switch to their emotions for the motivation and strength of their love. And this we might call a volatile relationship. Now, lest there be any misunderstanding, let's get the rest of this point down. Emotion plays a part in love when it is a response to normal things, especially in marriage. Now, emotion itself, it's a response, yes, but it plays a part. Exactly. All right, continuing then. But emotion by itself destroys love. You know why? Is love strictly an emotion? No. Can love have emotion in it? Yes. Well balanced? Yes. But what really is love? It's thought. And what's the one thing emotion does not have? You got it. So emotion destroys love. Isn't it interesting when you can see how all these things tie together, and then you can really know yourself better? And this is what it's all about. This is what all these classes are for, not just this one. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, to know you better by whom? By you. Not what someone else knows about you. And then how you fit in to God's plan. And see, the more you know about you and the more you know about Him with respect to you, the greater you can appreciate what He has done on your behalf. The less you know about yourself, the more highly you think of yourself. Yeah. You know, emotion thinks an awful lot of itself, but the problem is emotion doesn't think. I don't think I have to prove that you cannot think when you're under emotional strain or any emotional response. Do you ever try to do anything that takes careful and cautious thinking while you're emotional? You can't do it. You just can't do it. People will say to you, relax, be calm. See, which are all antitheses to emotion. But if there is true love and the basis of that relationship is rapport, there can be a lot of emotion. But the emotion is responding to the love. Exactly. See, emotion plays a part. Listen to this statement. Human personal love cannot be carried by emotion. Human personal love cannot be carried by emotion. But emotion will certainly be carried by personal love. You see, a lot of people have abused these principles. What do you suppose the normal reaction would be for a person who doesn't quite understand what I've just said? That any emotional response is wrong. And I know some doctrinal people that walk around like zombies. You can't get them to smile. You can't get them to respond in any way. Listen, emotion is a wonderful, wonderful thing if it's responding, but never if it's aggressive. It was not designed to be aggressive. It's just like a woman. A woman can be a marvelous, wonderful person if she's responding. But if she's aggressive, she's awful. Or assertive, which is another word for arrogant. And that's what they're teaching today. They got thousands of women sitting in classrooms learning how to be aggressive. All in the name of equality. The one thing you ladies don't want is to lower your standards and make yourself equal with the male of the species. That's a shocker, isn't it? No, because then you see, man can't place you where he should on that pedestal of life and adore you and protect you and love you and do for you and provide for you and care for you. That's right. He won't do that if he's an equal. I won't do that for another man. And I certainly don't want another man going to bed with me. See? I want someone who'll respond to me. As my emotion would respond in truth to the Word of God. You'll notice that we have displays of emotion here almost every night. Yet we're not considered an emotional church. When I'll say something, and some of you will laugh. It generally starts in the tape room because Carl is usually about a sentence ahead of me. Carl's a very bright man, by the way, if you don't realize it. But nevertheless, I'll be saying something, he's already got the punchline. And he starts roaring in there. And then it kind of works from the back forward, depending upon where Alicia's sitting. Then eventually, someone will pick it up, either my daughter Robin, okay, and she has a rather boisterous laugh as well, and my daughter Lori, if you ever get her going, she'll blow you right out of the auditorium. Nevertheless, that's emotion. But you see, it's responding to thought. Now, you'd think it rather strange if you were all seated here, and say there was somebody in the back, and there was a pause, and I was just looking at you, and all of a sudden this person started giggling in the back, and roaring with laughter, and fell over and rolled in the aisle. We'd have to call the guys in the white coats, right? You would think that person was, yes, something's loose. Elevator goes to the third floor only. And one designed to go 10 floors. The scripture calls it calls it beside thyself, which I always thought was quite interesting. Another one says, thou art mad. The Hebrew word for that, of course, is our old friend, shigayon. And that is more than just simply madness. It has to do with emotional responses and emotional revolt in addition to the unleashing of subconscious, suppressed is. That's what happened to the Exodus generation. Got to watch emotion. Now, we laugh when we hear about people who think they're Napoleon and so on and so forth. And had a guy come in here on Sunday, wanted me to announce to the entire group that He's from somewhere in the desert. And he says, I'm just going, he says, God has just compelled me to go to all the churches and tell them that this automobile traffic and vehicular traffic on our back roads are just destroying our countryside. And so he said, I've even spoken in some churches. Well, I wasn't going to allow him to speak here. So I said I would, in fact, pass that on. I just did.
How much time after the fact?
No, it was Sunday. It was yesterday when he walked in. You may have seen him. He was in the back of the auditorium. He actually wanted to come in the middle of class, but Carl told him he could not. That was a... Das ist verboten. Meaning, of course, translated, that is forbidden. All right, so emotion does play a part in marriage when it responds properly. But if it's aggressive, it destroys. And you see, the same is true in the physiological parts of the body. That, what's the word for emotion? Do you remember? Well, it's kidneys, yeah. And then you have the kidneys, right? And the thinking part of the soul is called the heart. When the heart dictates to each of the emotional responses, why two? Because one has capacity for spiritual things, the other one has capacity for natural things. I watched a football game Sunday evening after church. My team was playing, and they were down by 6, I think. And our quarterback fell back, and he pumped one deep. The guy caught it, ran into the end zone. Now there was about, I don't know how many minutes left. And so the opposing team worked its way downfield again. And this guy had never, I don't know in how long, missed under these yards. I think it was like 32 or 33 yards. He'd already hit one from 49, okay? Field goal. And so John and I are sitting there because we knew we'd lose by a point. So the ball was snapped. The guy kicked. He hooked it, shanked it off to the right. He was a left-footed kicker. And, of course, he and I were absolutely elated. It didn't take the filling of the Spirit to do that. See? This kidney over here started vibrating. And it sent a response out. And it said, yes! And, of course, now the Raiders are at least in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm a Raider fan. I like dirty football. If the Cardinals start playing dirty, you know, get maybe 10, 15, 18 penalties a game, then I'll start going for them. It'd help if they'd win once in a while, too. But they didn't win yesterday. Here we have attached to the kidneys. By the way, what's on the top of each kidney? The adrenal glands, covered by fat pads. That's why when you get emotional off times, what happens? The adrenaline flows, and you even start to shake. Well, that's what's doing it. It's emotion. There's a physiological part of you that's working. All right, then we have the ureters connected to the bladder. The blad is the old sin nature. That's designed to do what? To excrete waste. Let's say now the bladder becomes aggressive and says, I don't like the fact that the kidneys keep dumping this stuff into me. So now I'm going to dump some back. What is that condition called, by the way? It also happens in esophageal eruptions, in stomach gases. It's called acid reflux. This is called reflux. The condition then that results is called hydronephrosis. The nephros, by the way, is the Greek word for kidney, as well as the word splagnia. When that condition occurs, urine backs up into the kidneys and eventually destroys the kidneys. Well, now, these were meant and designed to do what? To respond to the heart as appreciators. So the first thing you lose is capacity for life, physical things. And eventually you lose capacity for spiritual things. This condition is called reversionism. Just thought I'd go over that in case we hadn't studied it for a while. When we talk about a reversionistic believer, we're talking about a believer who is being led by their emotion, not by thought from doctrine. Emotion has no thought, so it must be supplied with thought. Get the idea? See, emotion itself cannot be aggressive. It has to get something from a source. So he either gets it from the heart, which would be the right response, or from the there's only one other source from which it can get any information, the nature of sin. And as we know, the nature or the sin nature is in every cell structure of our body, so everything then reverts to strictly physical things. Now put that in the relationship of what we just studied, that's why premarital sex can destroy the emotional pattern of the soul of the individual, and certainly that is why we know when that happens the sin nature is in control, because there's really no thought put into it. All the girls that ever had premarital sex and ended up pregnant, did you think they intended to? I doubt it. It couldn't happen to them. Now, of course, we have more threats, worse than pregnancy. How about something like death as a result of AIDS? Well, of course, that doesn't seem to bother most people either. I was amazed when I heard of a particular high school in the Phoenix area that had something like 40%. Is it higher than that, Jenny? 60%. Yeah, 60% of the students tested were HIV positive. 60%. Of those tested. Do you remember the name of the school? No. But it's here in the area because her mother told me. And my daughter doesn't lie. She used to, but she doesn't anymore. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Thank you for the instruction that we can understand and use and apply so that we might please Thee. In Christ's name, amen.